Welcome to the UK Fantasy Football Show, Goal's weekly podcast that discusses many a football fan's favourite pastime. We'll be reacting to how our teams performed in Game Week 3, giving each of our FPL ones to watch, doing one-week wonders with our guest, Goal's Arsenal correspondent Charles Watts, and revealing our teams for Game Week 4. But first up, the standings, and Jesus H. Christ, I had an atrocious week. I got just 26 points in this game week, which I'm embarrassed by that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not good.
I'm doing an FPL podcast, and that's the best I can do. It's just, you know, it's by far my worst week. I know we're only 3 weeks in, but I just wanted to start tearing my team apart.
Yeah.
Especially when I saw how well Sam did. So Sam got 63 points after he did his wild card. He's not with us today, which is probably for the best.
It is for the best, yeah.
Could I just butt in and stop you both? Yeah, I have a message from Sam to both of you that you wanted me to read out at this point in, oh, the, yeah. In the podcast. So here we go. Dear Miles and Dave, greetings from Tuscany. I'm truly devastated not to be looking into the whites of your eyes today with the sickening smugness that you know I'm wearing. Save yourselves and your seasons, deploy your wild cards, and pray to your deity of choice that you make the right choices this week. Without my considered counsel, the revolution will not be televised. It will be available in audio format.
What a twat. Oh, fair
it's,
play
it's
though.
Even worse that we can't, like, I just want to see him just to say that you would have done even better had you not had any Manchester United players in your team. You know, that would be my rebuttal to Sam's gloating.
Fair play though, he did very well. 63 points. His wildcard worked wonders. And it made me really want to do mine, to be honest. But I'm saving myself for the international break. You get a lot of players who get little niggly injuries during the international break. I like using that sort of two-week period to start rebuilding my team. I'm just holding off, even though I really do want to tear it up.
Yeah, so Sam captained Salah, and he got 30 points from Salah there. So, I mean,
that's half his points.
Yeah.
So well done on it. Do you know who I captained?
Go on.
Marcus Rashford.
Oh,
do you
yeah.
know what double zero is? You could, I guess I didn't get minus points. It could have been worse. I could have had double minus points, but...
The best thing about that was Sam still got Rashford in his team and he took Pogba out and he'd been complaining about Pogba missing penalties and then Rashford steps on and misses.
Oh my God. I was so irritated. That was the point where I just stopped watching football at the weekend. I was like, this is enough. Just so annoying.
It is. It's the fantasy football gods going against you on a massive scale, isn't it?
Yeah, my top scorer for the week was Bowley. Who got 4 points. Not great.
Oh, mate, no.
At least it was one of my recommendations. One of my recommendations did okay from last week.
Yeah.
Another one of my recommendations did not do okay, and I've already tossed him out, which is Tielemans. He's in your team as well.
He's in my team, yeah. And he's on the verge of being cut. And I think I even mentioned him almost cutting him last week. I thought I'd give him another week just to see how he got on. And, 2 points. Forget it, mate. You're out. But one of my recommendations came through as well. Norwich's Cantwell.
Very nice.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to score a goal. I was thinking maybe on the assists front might get something, but came through with a goal and 7 points, which is brilliant.
He's the second most popular transfer in this game week.
Yeah.
Because he's so goddamn cheap. Like 4.7 he is now, he's gone up 0.1, but 450,000 people have transferred him in.
That's amazing, because I don't think he'll necessarily be one for the whole season, although still good value.
Still good value. I mean, that Norwich attack clearly has a lot of value in that team. Like, they're going to be one of those teams that concede goals for certain. And that's kind of one of the few things I enjoyed about the weekend was how predictable Chelsea Norwich was. You looked at that team and played, and you thought, that's going to be a goal fest.
Yeah.
And it was. So I was like, oh, thank God, at least that was predictable.
Yeah.
Unlike Man United Palace, where I thought, United are going to walk this, and they just fell apart.
I know, we were all so wrong about that one. It just looked like it'd be a sure thing. United have looked pretty good this season up until that point. And
against two stronger teams in Chelsea and Wolves, and yet they fall apart against Palace.
At home as well, Old Trafford.
I was at Anfield in the press box, well, in the press room waiting for the Liverpool-Arsenal game when United equalised, and there was a big groan that went round the whole press room amongst all the Liverpool the Liverpool journos, and then, followed up swiftly by a big cheer about 2 minutes later when Palace went and nicked it in injury time.
How did you find that game, Liverpool-Arsenal?
From an Arsenal sense, I thought they were better than they have been. It was never they were going to lose, and going to lose pretty heavily, because they always do. I think it's kind of written in the stars now. It's retribution for 1989 that whenever Arsenal go to Liverpool, they get on the end of a bit of a hammering. But I actually thought they played all right, and there was a bit of a plan there for once. And you know, if they'd have taken their chances in the first half, you know, Pepe, when he went through, you got to score that, really. I thought he played really well, and it could have been a different game. Then you go in front and the game plan was working, and then yeah, as soon as Liverpool went in front, game over. Arsenal weren't going to come back from that. Liverpool on another level, but I thought there were some promising signs.
Some positive. Do you think they could have made more of Pepe in that match then, potentially?
Well, I don't know. I just thought the game plan was working really well. I thought Liverpool were worried about them. They, you know, yeah. It wasn't the prettiest. They were playing pretty direct on the counter attack, just long ball, and looked to hurt them with the pace of Pepe and Aubameyang, and it was working. And you know, Aubameyang's lob goes in, or Pepe sticks his one on one in the back of the net, and you know, you could have been a couple of goals up at that point. Yeah. And
Liverpool look very high, don't they, against quick teams as well. It's a dangerous game.
It's risky, especially against that. I think that's what Emery was thinking when he went with... Yeah. He left Lacazette on the bench and went Pepe and Aubameyang. But yeah, Liverpool went, 2 years since they've lost to Anfield in the league now? They're a very difficult side to beat. And I thought once they got in front, they showed the golfing class between the two teams is still pretty vast.
And big game this weekend for Arsenal, obviously.
Big game. No better way to respond than the North London derby. And I sort of take credit for Spurs' defeat last weekend because I brought in Harry Kane and captained him in my team, which always means that they're going to lose and he's going to do nothing. So I take full credit for that defeat.
Yeah, so, I had him as captain as well. He amassed massive 4 points. Should have just stuck with Sterling.
I mean, that was the other thing for me. When I captained Rashford and I saw how poor he did, I was like, oh my God, please, Kane, don't do well. And maybe, because yeah. I changed it at the last second, like on the bus home that night.
Oh, did you?
And I was just so worried that Kane was going to smash it. I mean, at least I would have had some points then, I guess, yeah. On the flip side, on like 26 points. But it was, certainly London derbies, he tends to perform better, doesn't he, Kane?
He always scores against Arsenal, even if he played like last season, he was terrible. Socrates marked him out of the game both times, Wembley and in Emirates, but he still scored 2 penalties in either game, so... Is it guaranteed points against Arsenal's Harry Kane?
He's a threat. How's your overall team doing on FPL, Charles?
Doing all right. It's 43 points. I think I was one below the average last week, which I'm not overly happy with. I had, as usual, Salah and Sterling got me the points. I should have just stuck with the captain. I don't know why I went with Kane. Mm. Trying to be a bit too clever. But I think overall I'm doing all right.
How many overall points do you have?
Just having a look. 178.
That's more than all three of us on this FPL podcast. Yeah. So, wish it. Dave is actually...
177 out.
Yeah, so Dave's still top. Sam's 172. He's closed that gap significantly. And now I'm languishing in third. 155 points after my pathetic haul of 26 points last week.
Yeah, Sam's a bit too close for comfort now. I'm gonna have to score high this next week. But 3 weeks in, still top, and that feels good.
Yeah, you haven't used your wild card yet, and like Sam, you've not, you know, blown that bullet. I think you've got some points in the bag to come.
I hope so. Kane will have to deliver this weekend. I'll be furious if
he's gone. He's gone out of mind. I'm not even if he's guaranteed points, I'm not keeping him in against Arsenal. No chance.
Can't bring yourself to do it.
No way.
Our new table topper in the Public League in the UK Fantasy Football Show League is Alexander Eliasson, who's the Scousers team, bagged 71 points last game week, which is quite impressive, more than Sam. Overall, he has a whopping 228 points. He's putting his all to shame in
that
public
captained, Sterling. I'm assuming he captained him as captain and had Pookie as vice-captain.
Yeah.
Nice team.
Pookie, Mount, Salah, Sterling. You can't go wrong with that formula right now.
No.
Their goals are guaranteed. Our previous number one, Salman Sanoun, has fallen to eighth, which is still pretty decent. New number one at the top of that standings. I imagine that's going to change every week, at least for the foreseeable future.
It's a good league. How many teams we got in there?
Over 2,000 now. Yeah. Not sure on the exact number, but I mean, I'm 1,000 somethingth at this point. You know, I'm in the bottom half.
Yeah, I'm 506th.
And you're our best representative. Fuck.
We really need to do better.
Listeners, you can join our league and test yourself against us. I mean, I say test yourself. It's not really a test. You can laugh as you beat us all season.
Why would they
long.
Take our advice?
Maybe you can write into us. Or you can hashtag, tweet us with the hashtag UKFFS if you want to give us some tips rather than us giving you tips. I think that might work better, to be honest. But the code to type in on the FPL website is NHC4WZ. On to the FPL ones to watch then. We've each picked out three players we believe are worth considering for transfers ahead of game week 4. This week, I think I'll start. My first tip is the transfer I've already done for this game week, which is Manuel Lanzini. I kind of stayed away from West Ham players so far because they had a bit of a tricky start. They had Man City first game of the season. I think they drew Brighton the second game. And then they beat, I want to say, Watford last weekend. No. Yes, they beat Watford 3-1. And Lanzini has looked more and more impressive as the sort of season's gone on the last three games. He's played almost every minute of the matches so far. I think he's only missed 3 minutes when he subbed off towards the end of the Watford win. He's got 2 assists in the last 2 game weeks. I was umming and ahhing whether to go with him or Felipe Anderson for my transfer because I wanted a West Ham attacker in there. I ended up going with Lanzini simply because of how many minutes he plays. So you look at Felipe Anderson, he's not played the full match in either of the 2 games he's played, and he missed the Brighton draw as well. He's obviously got goals in him. I mean, he scored 9 goals and got 6 assists last season, Felipe Anderson. And he was injured for a good chunk of the season as well. But I think Lanzini's probably just a bit more of a safe guarantee. And for a player, I kind of want to just sit there for a few weeks because West Ham, you know, after the Norwich fixture, they have Aston Villa, Man United, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Sheffield United, Everton, Newcastle, Burnley. There's some decent fixtures in there. And I think he'd be good to have just, you know, getting the odd assist here and there, plug in 5 or 6 points each week, fingers crossed. Better than what Tielemans was doing, rotting away.
It's got to be better, hasn't it?
I mean, he can't be much worse.
No. Yeah, I was just looking at West Ham shots on target for him. Like, they're, what, fifth?
Oh, yeah.
In the league? Or joint fourth, is it? But yeah, they've had 16 shots on target, which is pretty high, actually, in the Premier League. So they seem to be getting the shots away and accuracy-wise, at least, getting them on target for as one of the top teams in the league for that. Which is a bit strange, actually, because it looks like their overall chance creation isn't actually that high either. It's one of the lowest in the league. So they don't create a lot of chances, but when they do, they get them on target. Yeah. And I'm guessing he's part of that.
Yeah, he's definitely part of that. He's key to that attack, really, isn't he? Haller, obviously, is, you know, looks like a good signing so far, and he'll be supplying him up front. But yeah, I just think, I mean, I was about to say, you know, West Ham looks shaky at the back. They've not kept any clean sheets yet. But actually, looking beyond the first game week where there was a few clean sheets, we've not seen a whole lot. Really, I was looking this weekend. We had 3 teams that got clean sheets. You know, Villa, Southampton, and Newcastle. Not teams you would have picked out at the start of the game week as the ones who'd get clean sheets. I think last weekend there were only 2 teams that kept clean sheets. Yeah, Everton and Sheffield United. You know, the top teams aren't keeping clean sheets at this point. So I think it's probably fair to say there's a lot of improvement there. But yeah, Lanzini, he's my first pick.
It's a good one.
My second one, another attacker, and this is one I actually have in my team already, Wesley, Aston Villa's striker. He hadn't looked great in the first 2 games. I stuck with him. Admittedly, I stuck with him and he was a sub in this game week. So he got 9 points on my bench. Thanks, Wesley. That was my fault. I'm saying it's not his fault at all. But he was quite impressive. Like, the Villa-Everton match on Friday night was one of the only ones I actually got around to watching live. And I was quite impressed with the whole Villa team, really.
Yeah,
I thought they were pretty decent. There were quite a few of the midfielders that looked really impressive, completely overran that Everton midfield.
Yeah, and Villa Park looked like a frightening place to play for any opposition in that game. The atmosphere was just crackling. You know? I think a lot of people, if you remember Aston Villa from when they were last in the Premier League, they'd suffered for so long in that league that ground, which was one of the biggest stadiums in the country, wasn't really the kind of place that other people, that like players, were intimidated to play there. But I would imagine that game was Villa Park back to its best.
It certainly felt like it, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
And Everton definitely looked a bit intimidated. After the first 10 minutes where they were a bit on top, they never really looked in control of that game. As the heavy favourites going into the fixture as well. And yeah, I think Wesley, his movement was great. I thought he looked hungry, looked like he wanted the ball. He looks handy when he does have the ball. I think the through ball was Hotta who got it through to him for the assist. It was a brilliant assist, but you know, Wesley had to score it, and I can see him having some chances this weekend against Palace. Palace at home. Yeah, they don't always look great at home. After the international break, they have fixtures against Burnley, Norwich, and Brighton. So Villa do have a good run in coming up.
Yeah, I can imagine him. Like I said, there's a lot of creative players around him, so. And he's their single striker, isn't he, in that team?
He is, right? He's their front man in, I guess it's 4-3-3, but it'll be a 4-5-1 when they defend him. But yeah, he looks like he'll be the starting striker week in, week out.
So how much is Wesley?
He's only 6 million.
That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's only selected by 1.7% at this point. But I can see that going. I think a lot of people, for their like third cheap striker or second cheap striker, if you pack him in your midfield, are going with Pukki for obvious reasons, really.
Yeah.
For someone like me who refuses to use their wild card yet and can only make tinkerings to their team, I'm sticking with Wesley. He was my pre-season placement that he's sitting in there. He's getting his points now after 2 points in the first two game weeks. Hopefully he can come good.
Yeah, I'm quite tempted by that, actually, because I've still got Origi in my team.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, and I'm kind of looking to replace him.
Yeah.
So, and he's 5.5, and I've got 0.4 in the bank.
Oh, tantalising. Haven't you got any transfers? You could have got some transfers, haven't you? Or did you use two of your transfers last week?
I used two, yeah.
Ah, right, okay.
I've got one free transfer.
All right, okay.
But yeah, it's a good recommendation, that one.
I like to think so, hopefully.
I like the look of that, Wesley. I think he looks like a decent player. I mean, this is to come later on, but he's in my one-off
nice
team coming up. Yeah. He looks like a decent player, decent striker.
Definitely. Speaking of strikers, then, my third option is Harry Kane, for the obvious reason that he's just so goddamn good in London derbies. And especially against Arsenal, he scored 9 goals in 9 Premier League games against Arsenal. Spurs' biggest foes in the Premier League.
Arsenal fan, Harry Kane.
Ah, yeah, you like to get that done in there. Yeah. He hasn't scored since game week one, when he had a little late flurry against Villa, and it was made fans like me who had him in their FPL teams quite happy. But I can see him getting some against Arsenal, and I think he'll be a popular pick this weekend, even though Spurs are at home. Spurs away, aren't they? Arsenal at home.
But I don't know. I feel a bit frustrated with Spurs at the moment. It doesn't feel like they're creating enough around Kane.
He always scores against Arsenal.
I know you're saying that, but don't say that, because he's in my team and he's not going to score. I feel like I got this point.
You jinxed him.
Yeah, like last week, we all thought he would score, didn't we, against Newcastle.
They played, in Newcastle's defence, they played the perfect game plan against Spurs. Mm. And Spurs, they needed to have had more shots on target, or shots on target, shots in general.
Just rein them in.
Yeah, and they just didn't. And Newcastle, the way they played was very compact, and it just kept them in that sort of middle third, or not really inside the box. And when, you know, Kane doesn't have the ball in the box, he gets frustrated and he starts to stray out, and it doesn't really benefit them. But it'll be a more open game against Arsenal, won't it? So
yeah, he's not going to have Arsenal sitting camped in their own half. You can have him and all the Spurs attackers will have the wide open spaces in the Emirates to play with on Sunday. So yeah, I think safe bet putting him in there. He'll get your points.
Yeah,
it's just like the situation with Eriksen as well. What's going on? Are they just gonna? Is he gonna play? Is he part of this team, or is he not part of this team? Are they? You know,
he's in that little gray.
I think he's an important. I think he's important part of whether Spurs are gonna succeed or not.
It feels like Poch is hurting himself with the stance that he's taking on it. I know, I'm really surprised if he's not going, and it doesn't look at the moment like he's gonna go. Surely you play him. You saw when he brought him on against Aston Villa, the difference he made. He's so important to that team. Even if some Spurs fans say he's a bit inconsistent, he's so important. Yeah. He makes them tick. There's no one else like Eriksen in that side. And you know, you ask Harry Kane if you want Eriksen supplying you, he'll say yes every day of the week. And as an Arsenal fan, I'd love to see him on the bench again at the weekend. I don't really understand Poch's thinking behind it.
Mm. No, I think you're spot on. It'll be interesting to see if he does play against Arsenal the weekend. Dave, who have you gone with as your three ones to watch?
Okay, I wanted to put him in last week and I wish I had, but Ashley Barnes is my first one. Okay. And even though they've got a tough fixture against Liverpool, I still fancy him to score, because he knows where the goal is. Everyone's going with Pukki, aren't they, at the moment? And Pukki stats are slightly better than Barnes, but Barnes is 6.6 million. He's got 25 points on the board already. 4 goals. He's had a total of 13 shots, 8 of which are on target. So he's going to deliver. I know he is. And I know our chief correspondent, Peter Staunton, absolutely loves him. I think he's even got a shirt with his name on the back.
He thinks he should play for Barcelona, doesn't
he? Yeah. And I can see why, because I think he is massively underrated. But come on, let's get him in the team.
I think last season I would have disagreed with you. Playing against Liverpool this weekend, I wouldn't have said that was a fixture he's necessarily going to score in. But Liverpool haven't kept a clean sheet yet.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think he is definitely their most likely goal scorer, Barnes.
He's got a good record against the top six as well, I think, doesn't he? He scored at the Emirates the other day, and I think he's got a decent record against the big team. So
It seems like perfectly settled as like a Premier League striker, just playing his trade at Burnley, you know, just being one of the top strikers in the division, really.
4 goals in 3 games.
Hasn't he scored more league goals than Aubameyang and Salah in 2019?
Yeah, his record since Christmas. Yeah. It's fantastic. When Burnley suddenly were like, oh, we have to actually play football to stay in the league.
Yeah.
They were much, much better.
So all you guys who don't want to just follow the popular opinion, picking Pookie and putting him in the team, go for Ashley Barnes.
The hipster's choice.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. my second pick is Anthony Martial. I mean, yeah, United lost to Palace, which we did not see coming at all, but it was interesting to see how influential Martial was on that game as well. He's definitely going to get loads of points if he carries, if he's fit. He's got a little, I think he may have picked up a thigh injury, so we can only hope that he'll be playing well.
I think the caveat for Martial is you wait until closer to the weekend, yeah, and then you make the sub.
Yeah,
I think we'll know more after the presser, won't we?
Because they've got Southampton away, which is probably a good thing. They've got an away match against one of the relatively lesser sides in the league following the defeat at home to Palace. But yeah, Martial, I think he won a free kick on the edge, right on the edge of the area for United at the weekend. He had a penalty appeal turned down, which looked like a penalty to me. He set up McTominay for the penalty that they won, and then Rashford ultimately missed. And he also got the assist for James's goal. So I think Sam's had him as one of his picks before, and I can totally see why now. Looking to kind of get him in my team. How much is he actually? Is he
7.7?
Yeah, so his price is creeping up now with his points.
I don't think it'll go up before the weekend, simply because that little yellow triangle next to his name,
yeah,
it often puts people off a little bit, makes them think twice. But I think we'll know on Friday if he's going to feature or not.
Yeah, and we were just saying before the show, weren't we, that him and Mount have both currently got injury concerns, which might be making people think, oh, either of those are quite good picks at the moment and looking in good form. So, but yeah, the injury is a bit of an off-putter. My third player is David Silva. He's 7.4 million. He's on 14 points now. He's Mr. Reliable. And if you've only got two City players in your team, then you need a third because they look unbelievably good.
My issue with City is simply the rotation. I think having two, so I've got two that I know are going to start in Edison and Sterling. I'm always hesitant to go for that third because they're quite expensive and you just don't know if they're going to play, you know, 10 minutes or 90 minutes or get three goals or absolutely nothing. They're such a frustrating team to pick for FPL. You compare that to Liverpool, you know who's going to be their starting 11. Certainly in attack and defence, no one really picks their midfielders. No one has Jordan Henderson in their FPL team.
Yeah.
City are the complete opposite. You know, they're difficult.
I know. I'm going through a little bit of that as well myself because I've got Bernardo Silva. He seems to be starting him. Well, I started him at the weekend, but he's not scoring enough points, though.
David Silva's a lot cheaper, isn't he?
Yeah. And plus, I mean, I don't know, this could be just Bournemouth, but every time Bernardo Silva went near the ball, there seemed to be three Bournemouth players on him. So they were keen to keep him out of the match because they know what impact he can have. But then I suppose on the other side, they'd have Sterling to deal with. And yeah, it's I'm kind of hoping... Well, I'm recommending David Silva, but at the same time, I've got Bernardo Silva in there. He's more expensive.
A Silva.
Yeah, yeah. Bernardo Silva's like the ugly brother of David Silva, I think. I need to just swap him out and put David Silva in there. But yeah, David Silva, Mr. Reliable. He's been played in Premier League for God knows how long now.
Captain, though.
Yeah.
Brighton, at home to Brighton, is a decent fixture to have some City
players. Yeah, Brighton aren't that brilliant defensively. I'd imagine there'll be quite a few goals for City in that that game.
The Brighton bubble has burst after game week one when they hammered Watford 3-0 away from home.
Yeah.
They then drew 1-1 with West Ham this weekend. They lost, kind of surprisingly, I guess, to Southampton 2-0.
That was a surprise, yeah.
All those people like me were dunking the team, left with egg on their face.
It's difficult, though, because, and I was saying this about, I think Sheffield United will run to this because you can play really well against teams. Ultimately, though, the managers are going to come off the field going, yeah, but we lost. And that's not good enough. And the effort was all there from Sheffield United. And I think it was, someone said to Wilder after the game as well, you're not pleased with how committed your team were in that game. He's like, well, No, because that's the minimum they should be putting in. That's what I expect. So when it gets to that point, the players are going to be getting a bit frustrated because technically, it unfortunately, after the commitment and the effort, you're then coming down to technical ability. And that's something you've got to pay for.
Yeah. Yeah. And teams like, you know, Sheffield United, they don't have, they didn't spend a lot of money, did they, Sheffield United, in their summer? No, they got McBurnie, but not a whole lot else.
Yeah. So I think that's where your teams like Brighton and Sheffield United will start to come unstuck, because it is a bit soul destroying when you can put everything into certain matches. And unfortunately, those games, they'll be on the calendar. We've got to beat Southampton if we want to stay up. And even the Sheffield United Leicester game, they'll be looking at Leicester and thinking, need to get ideally a point from that match, because there's a lot of teams that'll turn you over still in that league. So
yeah,
tough one. But they're my three.
Awesome. Thank you, Dave. Charles, who have you got as your three?
I have gone first up, Tammy Abraham. Obviously a couple of goals last week, so opening his account for Chelsea, so full of confidence. Got Sheffield United at home. I think Chelsea, although they've had a bit of a mixed start to the season, they'll back themselves to win that and possibly get a few. So I think, and Abraham will certainly start that game. So I think it's 7.1 million, so not overly expensive. He scored against Sheffield United for Villa last season, so he said, you know, he'll know what he's going to be coming up against, and I just fancy he's gonna have a decent season, and certainly he's going to go into it confident. So I think he's a good shout to have up front.
Yeah, yeah, look good. So, did he score two, or did he score? Was it two goals he got the weekend? Yeah,
he got 30, finish, he got 13 points because he got the three bonus as well. So he had a cracking weekend against Norwich. I think one of the things to bear in mind as well with Abraham is, if Chelsea are going to be a top six side, if they aren't going to fall off a cliff with Lampard, then of all the top six sides attackers, that is the cheapest starting attacker you can get, with 7 million for Abraham. Because FPL didn't really know at the start of the season who was going to start. So they just went, oh, Abraham, Giroud, Batshuayi, you're all 7 million. And as a result, like, they weren't a great pick at the start because you didn't really know who was going to be there. But now we know, seems like it's going to be Abraham. Seems like a smart pick, especially, as you say, with Sheffield United this weekend.
Yeah, you'd fancy him, I think. And I really like him. I think he's a really lively striker. I think he's certainly earned his spot, earned his chance with his loan spells. And I just think, going to that on the back of two goals, your first goals, he's going to be desperate to get out there.
It looks like a confidence bridge, player to me as well.
Absolutely. And I think Chelsea will create a fair few chances. I think Sheffield United, a decent side. I think the way they've taken to the Premier League has been pretty impressive. Wilder's excellent coach, and he's setting them up well, but I think Chelsea will create chances there, and Abraham, I'd back him to at least one, possibly two goals again.
And he went and hugged the manager as well after he scored, so that'll guarantee him a place in the first.
Absolutely. It's a nice way to guarantee you.
Abraham.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he's probably just jealous, isn't he, of Mount? Because Mount is basically like his son at this point. He's like, give me some of your love, father.
Young players kind of vying for his affection.
So yeah, that's number one. Number two, another striker who's got two goals worth of confidence in him, Sebastian Haller. Played very well. I really like him. I think it's a fantastic piece of business by West Ham bringing him in. He's taken a little bit of time to adjust, but I think the goals against Watford will do him the world of good. And I thought he was great last season. I really enjoyed watching him when I saw him over in Germany. And they're at home to Norwich again, a team we've seen, you're gonna get chances against Norwich. They're not gonna sit back and put 11 players behind the ball. They're gonna give you some space. And I think, like you were talking about West Ham, they just seem like they've come through those tricky first couple of games, and they're beginning to find their feet a little bit. And I think Haller, as you look at that as a good opportunity to get some points on the board. 7.4 million, not massively expensive as a striker at home, and no, I think it's a good shout to get some points.
It's frustrating as a manager, an FPL manager, not a real manager, obviously. As an FPL manager, when you see players like Haller go down in price, so he's 7.4, had been 7.5, and he's obviously coming back off this great week he had at the weekend, but he dropped pretty quickly after not scoring in those first two game weeks. And you have him as a player, and your prices start dropping. Like, I've noticed on FPL, they're very quick to drop the prices, yeah. And so your team can quite quickly devalue. Like, for me, I've got, I had Tielemans till I tossed him. Sigurdsson has dropped 0.1. Barkley's dropped 0.2. Like, they're very quick to dip, and Haller is another one. It seemed a bit quick for them to just be like, oh, you're losing your points here.
Yeah, you got to give him a little bit of time to adjust to the league. I mean, he's just arrived from Germany. It's going to take a couple of games, and when one of those matches is Man City well, then it's a struggle to really hit the ground running. So, what are we, three games in, he's already got two goals now.
Yeah.
So no, I think he's gonna be a big signing for West Ham. I think he's gonna 15 goals plus this season for me. I think it'll be a decent. Taken him long enough to finally get a striker, but I think they've got one. I think they've got themselves a good one.
Mm. 20 goals he got last season for Frankfurt.
Yeah, he was the unsung hero, really. You know, everyone, Jovic and people like that got the headlines, but a lot of people said Haller was the best of the three. They're attacking three, and I think he's a real talent, and it's a big coup for West Ham to get him. Yep.
I totally agree. I think that's a great shout for Haller. Who is your third player?
Not exactly. I haven't really sort of delved in and used all my brain to get this one, but Sergio Aguero, home to Brighton. Just, I mean, what is there to say? I mean, 12 million quid he's going to cost you. But I think he scored against them home and away last season. Scored twice at the weekend. And I just think it's guaranteed points this week.
It is, yeah. I just kind of wish he'd get out of the way, though, so Sterling can knock him in instead. When I'm watching the Man City games, I'm going, Aguero, just get out of the way because Sterling wants to tap this one in, okay? Just let him get the points because I've got him captain and I haven't got Aguero in my team. So Aguero just needs to get out of the way.
I'm totally with you on this one, yeah. We're team Sterling all the way here.
I
but
agree.
You're right.
I've got Sterling. I don't actually have Aguero in my team, but I think this week he's nailed on. I can see a hat-trick. I bet you that quite a few people triple captain him this week.
Yeah. He's a guaranteed starter as well with Jesus. Injured, it's a good time to put Aguero in.
I'd rather have him than Kane, put it that way. But is he 12?
12.
Yeah.
Pricey.
So...
But he showed what he can do when he's informed, didn't he, at the weekend?
He did, yeah. He's going to get a lot of points this season, let's face it.
He is. Just not in our teams.
It's depressing. Has Sam got him in his team?
No, that's the one bonus here. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have him. Because he's...
You know, when he tore it up and went for all the...
Yeah, because he's got Sterling, he's got Salah, he's got Martial. I'm trying to think who else he has now.
He's got Jota and Rashford up front, hasn't he?
Rashford. Has he got Rashford and Martial?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got Maguire, Martial and Rashford. That's why I made the point that if he didn't have those players, he'd have actually done even better last week.
De Bruyne, yeah. He was quickly on that Ceballos bandwagon. Two points.
I was going to ask you about that, Charles, actually.
Yeah, he struggled, didn't he? He struggled, but I think it was his first away game in the Premier League and he doing it at Anfield. And that the intensity, when you watch them on TV, you can see just how intense Liverpool are. But when you're watching them live in the crowd, it is incredible. They do not give you a second. And yeah, for Ceballos, I think it was a bit of a rude awakening of the game week before home against Burnley at the Emirates. You got plenty of time on the ball and a team that weren't too bothered about coming out and pressing and getting the ball and attacking. They were more concentrating on keeping it tight at the back, and it sort of played into his hands. But Liverpool is the exact opposite, and he just didn't get a second on the ball. And I think when he came off that pitch in the midway through his second half, he must have been thinking, what on earth was that?
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be different this week. Again, obviously back at the Emirates, Tottenham not arriving in the best of form. Arsenal got a good record against them at home. I think he'll definitely play, and I'd back him to certainly perform an awful lot better than he did at Anfield.
So you think FPL managers who put him in should stick with him?
Yeah, although I wouldn't be putting him in this first week after me.
Let's move on then to our teams for game week 3. Before we run through mine and Dave's, Charles will be revealing his one week wonder team. He has to pick a team to get as many points as possible just from this game week. The high score so far has been set by Amy, who was our guest on last week's show. She obliterated Steph's 41 points that he got the previous week. She got 52 points.
Oh, nice.
Much, much better. She had Kane as captain, which didn't help her, but she did have Aguero, Pukki, Sterling and James, who all got some points. So she's our new number one, 1 out of 2. So Charles will be looking to top that. Charles, who have you got this week?
Okay, I have got in goal, we are going with Kasper Schmeichel, home to Bournemouth. I feel like there's a clean sheet coming there. So I'm setting it up 3-4-3. So just the three defenders. Got Joel Matip. I'm awful at pronouncing this. Kagler Soyuncu at Leicester. And Zinchenko from Man City. As a defence, then I've got Mason Mount at the moment. He's 75% rated as a bit of an injury doubt, but I reckon he'll play. And then Salah, Sterling, Lanzini.
Nice.
And then up front, the three, Abraham, Aguero and Wesley.
Got some of my picks in there. I like that.
So I I'm pretty confident on that. I can see a few points. Captain, Sterling or Aguero? Who do I go for?
I'm going to put you on the spot here. If I was going to pick between the two, I think I'd go Aguero.
Would you?
Yeah, but I don't have Aguero. I just have Sterling. I can't really do anything about that.
If he doesn't?
I'm going Sterling. As much as I've gone with Aguero's one to watch, I still think Sterling's going to score as well. I think Man City are going to get 4 or 5 this weekend, and I'll stick with Sterling. It's always Sterling or Salah. I can't take the captaincy off either of them. It's either one or the other. The one time I did it last week, bit me. You know, if I'd have stuck with Salah, I'd have been sitting here with 30 points just on him. So now I'll stick Sterling captain 3-4-3.
Excellent. Who are your subs?
Subs are Stecklenburg in goal, so he's just not going to play. It's just 4 million.
Standard.
Get him done. Lundstrom and Kelly are my two defensive subs. And then Douglas Luiz, 4.5 million midfield sub.
Nice.
There you go.
Sounds like a good team.
I'm backing myself.
Backing yourself. Yeah. Good stuff. Dave, who's in your team this week?
My team is... what I'll do is I'll run through my team as it is and tell you who is... looking like they're going to get the chop because there's a couple of players, I reckon. So Pickford is in goal still. They've got Wolves, haven't they?
Yep, at home.
Yeah, so a bit disappointed that no clean sheet last week. And we were saying about Everton as well being solid as a rock at the back, and that was looking like a game where we were expecting a clean sheet, but we didn't get one. So
still 2 in 3 weeks. Is, you know.
Yeah, it's not bad. Walker-Peters, Van Dijk and Zinchenko. At the back three, Walker Peters appears to have picked up an injury now. And I blame Sam for this, as it was his recommendation. He amassed a massive 2 points from last week. Ideally, I'm looking at him now thinking, why? But especially with a tough game against Arsenal as well at the weekend coming, if he does play, might not be the best player to have in there. Across midfield, I've got Bernardo Silva, Raheem Sterling, Sigurdsson, Tillemans and Cantwell. And up front, I've got Kane and Vardy. So Tillemans is in danger of being chopped, and it'd be quite nice to swap Bernardo Silva as well out, I'm thinking.
Is he going to make 2 subs?
Yeah, we'll see. Kane and Vardy up front. So last week I captained Kane, and I should have just left it at Sterling.
Yeah.
This week, Sterling will be captain again. So, yeah.
Who are you looking to chuck in then at the expense of Tielemans? And...
Well, that's a good question, Miles. And if I'd have done a bit more research ahead of this, I would maybe be able to tell you.
Put you on the spot there.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the players that we've suggested as one of our
ones
to watch.
Yeah.
You can sift back through the audio at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, I will take our own advice. Take some notes. As it's not really paid off so far.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, maybe listeners can tweet in their suggestions and you can pick off some of
those. It was the one we talked about before. I was going to get Martial in there, wasn't I? But it's just that injury hovering over him, that injury doubt. If he's fit, he's going in. So yeah. I'll leave it late and possibly go for him. And drop Sigurdsson, actually.
Oh, he'd be the one to drop if you're going to.
Yeah, I think because of the money, I think it works out. I don't think I can afford to drop either of the other two that I mentioned for him. So, yeah, I won't be able to drop Tillemans. But
Sigurdsson is one of those frustrating players that when you've got him in your team, never seems to get you anything. But as soon as you take him out, he's just a points machine.
That's it. So I should release him for everyone else.
Yeah, please do. Because, for God's sake, he's just rotting right now in my starting lineup. And he was so, anonymous against Villa as well.
Yeah.
Clearly their plan this season is pace. That's what they've signed all these players for. Iwobi, Keane, they're just pace players. His subs at the week on Friday night as well were just pace subs. And Sigurdsson just looks so out of place with that format as well. Mm. And you've got to wonder how long until he's ousted from the starting lineup. And if he doesn't get points this weekend at home to Wolves, he's going to be ousted from my starting lineup.
He's in the danger zone, isn't he?
He is number one for the chop right now.
7.9 million just so wasting away. Yeah. That's me. How about you?
Me, I've not had a lot of changes. So Lanzini is my only sub in for Tielemans, as mentioned before. So I've got Edison in goal. I've got Digne, Maguire, Boley in defence, Sigurdsson, Lanzini, Sterling and Barkley in midfield, and then Rashford, Kane and Wesley up front. So with Barkley, he was one of the ones that's gone down 0.2 million. And he's probably the biggest risk in terms of hemorrhaging money right now, because he's just going to keep going down if he doesn't get points. But my theory with him is, that he played 90 minutes, I think. I'm pretty sure he played 90 minutes against Norwich at the weekend. So he was back in the starting lineup after being dropped the previous weekend, with Mount potentially being an injury doubt. You'd think that he won't be dropped again. He played all 90 minutes in a game that they won. I think that he is still at the sort of centre of a lot of that attacking threat that Chelsea have. They score a lot of goals. They're going to concede an absolute hatful, but they score a lot of goals. And I don't think it's worth tossing him out at this point for someone like Mount, who is a bit of a doubt. I'm going to stick with him for now. I'm going to stick with Barkley and hope he comes through.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
He was really good in pre-season, and I'm not quite ready to accept he's beyond hope yet. I'm more confident in him turning it around than I am Sigurdsson.
Yeah, Barkley does tend to drift in and out, doesn't he, during a season, and whether it's injury or something else, but just form in general. But he does tend to drift in and out.
Yeah.
And you do see moments of brilliance from him. So
yeah. So I'm hoping, I mean, Sheffield United at home this weekend, if he's going to turn it on against anyone, you'd think it would be this fixture. So fingers crossed for that. As I mentioned, like, to be honest, if my team does crap this week, it's going to be Wildcard City during the international break.
I'm just gonna
get rid of like half my team. Barkley's gonna be out. Sigurdsson's gonna be out. Rashford might be out if he misses another fucking penalty. I might toss Edison out, actually, because I'm more convinced, as we're seeing fewer and fewer clean sheets this season, that so having someone like Pope in there, 4.5 million, 1.5 million cheaper, he gets a load of saves. He was great against Arsenal.
He's been brilliant,
hasn't he? But I just think he's such a fantastic goalkeeper. Potential future England number one.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. Young keeper, a lot of talent. So he might be one that I toss in if I do revamp my team. But if I do really well, if I get over 50 points this weekend, I'll simmer down. But I need to double my points total. I can't get another 26. It's embarrassing.
Patricio, 5 million, I think.
That's a good shout as well, yeah.
Excellent shout for goalkeeper. He's makes saves, a good defensive record, Wolves. I'm just not sure that extra 1 million for someone like Edison, I just think it's a... better spent elsewhere.
Gets like one assist a season, which is exciting, but other than that, you know, Edison is not exactly... City aren't great with clean sheets, are they? I'm trying to think. Did they get a clean sheet against West Ham? I think they did, didn't they, the first game of the season? But since then, no, nothing.
In some games it almost looks like, to get to a point where they're just a bit like, yeah, we're winning this,
yeah,
and they just kind of switch off a little bit and the other team score just to keep it a little bit interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's Spurs. Spurs had three shots, didn't they? Scored twice.
Yeah.
I think Edison's placement for that first goal as well, the Lamela goal, was dodgy. I seem to remember him being pretty far off his line and didn't have the angles right.
Yeah, it wasn't in the corner, was it?
No, not at all. So Edison's another one who's on the brink a little, but we'll see how we do this weekend. I mean, I'm going to have Sterling as my captain as well. I really regret not putting him as my captain this weekend. Like Rashford or Kane, the two that I was leaning towards, bad ideas all around. Rashford, terrible idea. Doubling zero, just nothing. What a waste of a captain pick that was. I'm just glad I didn't triple captain him, because then I would have been devastated.
Try to apply logic to these things, though. It's the same. It was the same as Kane against Newcastle. You just go, oh yeah, of course he's going to score at least one goal against Newcastle, and he doesn't. Mm. And that's why Sterling, Aguero, you know, these are great picks, because they just deliver every week.
I've got I've got 1.9 million sat in my bank as well, and I feel like that's such a waste. But I can only do one transfer a week, and. And I don't want to get another. I don't want to get minus four when I've just got 26 points.
Yeah,
like that's sixth-ish of the total that I got last weekend. So
I know. I've got 0.4 in the bank as well because of the price changes. So obviously you start getting the 0.6s and the 0.9s now. So when you make your transfers, tend to have like a little bit left over.
Yeah, a little pocket change. Like,
yeah. And like I'm there with a calculator, like, can I get this guy in? Oh no, I'm like point of a million out. You know. So frustrating.
I'll be interested to see what team Sam goes with, if he makes any changes. I imagine he'll be sat
in Tuscany looking at his team.
A glass of wine.
Feeling all smug with himself. He should take out the United players.
He should, shouldn't
That'd
he?
That would be the smart thing to do.
Yeah, although Southampton this weekend, I mean.
I know, yeah. But then again, didn't expect him against Palace. They lose to Palace, did we? But
no. He got 63 points Sam at the weekend. Oh, gonna need to catch up with him this weekend, and you've got a job to stay ahead of him. Actually,
I know that's the thing. Yeah, feeling a bit of heat there from him, but I'm sure it'll die away pretty soon.
Let's wrap this up then. Dave, Charles, thank you very much for joining us today. Listeners, you can get in touch by tweeting your fantasy football thoughts with the hashtag UKFFS. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, follow on Spotify, or however you listen to podcasts on your favourite platform. Leave a review if you liked it, and if you didn't, what are you still doing here? Check out Goal for your daily dose of football news from the Premier League and around the world. Thanks for listening.